Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad, Rhino, down there in Studio X, taking care of me. Glad to be back with you after missing you last week. We are brought to you by the good folks at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg. Visit Vicksburg.com is the website to find out all the great things going on in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. C Spire text line is open to you, 601-879-4395. We got a baseball question right out of the gate. Let's start with baseball tonight. I was wrong. To this point in the season, you can't say anything but I was wrong. Mississippi State baseball has played at a pretty good clip to this point. Now, that's not to say they haven't had some downs, right? The five non-conference losses are, I mean, they're kind of inexcusable. This is a team that's 18-8. In reality, they should probably be 21-5. And if they were 21-5, they'd be in the top 10, and we'd be talking about them possibly being a host. As it is, they're going to have to win a lot of conference games if they want to host. They're going to have to win a lot of conference games, honestly, if they want to get in, because their strength of schedule is not going to be great. But they are playing good baseball. They look like a competent, quality, well-coached baseball team. They don't walk in a ton of runs. They don't make a bunch of errors, and their hitting has come around, surprisingly enough, since SEC play has started. You know, going into SEC play, they weren't hitting the ball well at all. They lost the game to South Alabama in Biloxi. Then they had a 2-1 game against UNO, and I thought, man, they're in real trouble with LSU. LSU, by the way, kind of looking like that national championship curse has struck them a little bit. But they get 2 out of 3 from LSU, and look at the games. They put 10 runs on the board on a Friday. They put 8 runs on the board in defeat on a Saturday, and then come back with 15 runs on a Sunday, and you're like, where did that come from? Wasn't expecting it. They put 17 runs on the board the next midweek game. Then the hitting was kind of back to where it was, but they had good enough pitching to get a game at Texas A&M. And in the grand scheme of things, you know, winning your home series and losing your road series is kind of how it goes in SEC baseball. Maybe you get lucky and you sweep a home series or two, and you can get, you know, into that 17-win range. You don't want to get swept on the road, obviously. Sometimes you do, though, and that's how you end up 14-16 or something like that. But State is very much on the pace for postseason play. And that is something I didn't think that was going to be the case. I didn't think that at the start of the season. I didn't think it 5 games into the season. I didn't think it 10 games into the season. But I have to think it now because of the way they're playing and the way that what their record is. I mean, they're 3-3 in conference play. I thought they might be 1-5. I thought they might be 0-6. Did not think they'd be 3-3. And now they go down to play Florida this weekend. Florida is a really weird baseball team. If you haven't kept up with the Gators, they might be the worst midweek team in the country. They lost last night in the midweek. Granted, it's to Florida State, but they played 10 games and 5 of their losses are in the midweek. I guess I shouldn't say anything. State has 8 losses and 5 of them are in the midweek. Or I guess in the midweek. They're a couple weekend losses, but non-conference losses, I should say. But on the weekends, Florida's really, really good. They've won 2 series. They beat Texas A&M, and they beat LSU. So they won series against the 2 teams Mississippi State has played. They're a good team. Jack Caglione might be the best player in college baseball. Probably going to be a top 5 draft pick next season. They've got talent. They've got arms. They've got hitters. They've got a lot going on for them. But right now, Mississippi State is playing with some confidence, and they kind of look like, in some ways, they look like the Mississippi State teams we've known in the past. Yeah, they've got some stars. Dakota Jordan is a star. Hunter Hines is starting to hit like the star that we know that he is. David Mershon is a star, but he's like a Rowdy Jordan star. And then what I mean by that is he's got a little grit to him. He's got a little edge to him. Logan Kohler's not hitting the ball very well right now, but he's got that grit to him as well. Johnny Long, I can't repeat what Chris Lamone has called Johnny Long here on the show. Rhino would have to hit the dump button and the FCC might come calling, but you see what I'm getting at. They've got baseball players. They've got guys that, you know, those characters that you have to be successful in college baseball. Jeremy in Columbia asked about Colby Holcomb, and Holcomb is a guy that, gosh, if he could put it together. But State always has a guy like this, right? They always have this guy that's big talent, and they just can't ever put it together until it's, you know, maybe they get to the majors. Brandon Woodruff was that guy for Mississippi State. Could never get it going in college. Now he's one of the best pitchers in pro baseball. Holcomb's 6'6", throws 95 miles per hour. But is it a flat fastball, or that doesn't move, or the hitter's just not picking up out of his hand good? Seems like he should be a dominant pitcher. Yeah, and so should Eric Sarantola. You know, so should Brandon Woodruff have been. I mean, sometimes it's just those guys. So, I don't know. Why is home field such a big advantage in baseball when the same pitchers, for the most part, are pitching each Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? It's a good question. I mean, home field is just important. You know, you get the crowd behind you, and in a big inning, you can rattle a pitcher. You can get your bats going. But on top of that, I mean, people know their park. You know, and you recruit to your park. You recruit to, the, you know, what stadium you're playing in. So State Stadium, they have recruited players who, you know, fit what their park can do. So that's part of the reason. But home field's just big in sports. I mean, it's just having the crowd behind you is worth something. So this weekend, you know, again, it's just about don't get swept. If State comes out of these first three series at 4-5, and then their next three series are Georgia at home. And I know Georgia has the best hitter in college baseball right now with Charlie Condon. But that's not a great Georgia team. You got to go to Ole Miss. And I know it's going to be tough, but I promise you a worse State team went to Ole Miss 2 years ago and got the series. State hasn't lost a series to Ole Miss now in 7 years. I'm not saying that that means they're going to make it 8 in a row. But I am saying State's had Ole Miss's number, and we'll see if that can continue. And then you get Auburn at home, who's not off to a good start either. Got a chance those next, after this Florida series, you got a chance those next three to maybe get some wins and put yourself into position to do something that I'll be honest. I mean, I'm being totally honest. I didn't think it was possible back in February. I didn't think it was possible back in January. So we'll see. We'll see if it does happen. And you did just say it. What did I say? I didn't say anything. Did I say something, Rhino?
No,
okay, making sure. If I don't know what we said. And I got to give Chris Lemonis a lot of credit because that's a guy, you know, he knew the heat was on. He's a smart guy. Oh, the State has won the last seven. They have. I mean, that's not me saying anything. It's just a fact. Lemonis knew the heat was on. He knew the pressure was on. He knew that if he had another poor season, it was probably going to cost him his job. He went out, made some changes, brings in an elite pitching coach, and the rest is kind of taking care of itself. And so he's put himself in a position to get Mississippi State baseball back to where we all know that it belongs. You know, even the most ardent Ole Miss fan would tell you, hey, Mississippi State is a baseball program that should be contending for the SEC championship year in and year out. They haven't been these past couple of years. So they're not there yet. Don't say the B word. They're not back. But they're on the road to being back. They're on the road to getting there. They're on the road to being the kind of team Mississippi State baseball should be year in and year out. And if they can get there, then all is well. And nobody's going to have any complaints, and nobody's going to have any concerns. And I think, you know, the way they're playing right now, like I said, I don't know if they're going to host. That feels like it's going to be – they're going to have to win a lot of conference games to host. What are they currently in the RPI? 47th. They moved up two spots after last night. Strength of schedule is up to 40, but their non-conference strength of schedule is 159, and they have five losses on it. That's something the committee will look at when they get there. They need to continue. They don't need to lose another non-conference game. If they can go without losing another non-conference game and then get 14 conference wins and be something like, what would it be, 37-19, probably good enough to be a two seed somewhere else. You can get to 16 or 17 conference wins, which I can't talk myself into that. Because now we're talking about they're going to have to sweep some series. And I think maybe at the end of the year they could sweep Missouri, but the rest of the way is going to be very, very tough to do that. Very tough to do that. But I you know what? Mississippi State fans, when I'm wrong, usually it means Mississippi State's good. So we're all happy, right? We're all on the same side of that thing. So, all right, back in a minute. Let's talk some football when we come back. The SEC announced some scheduling news that I didn't get a chance to talk about because I wasn't here last week, but I want to talk about it. So we'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for spending part of your Wednesday evening with me. April 5th in the great city of Vicksburg, the Sunset Concert Series will bring you the BAR Band with Andrew Six Strong Soul Man at the Vicksburg Convention Center. The 1600 Dr. Briggs Hobson Boulevard. The show's free. There are concessions. There's a cash bar. For more information, call 601-630-2929 or email Aaron P, E-R-I-N-P. At Vicksburg.org. So last week, something that we had talked about on this show and on Sports Talk and on Thunder and Lightning podcast was made official, that the SEC is just going to flip the 2024 schedule into the 2025 schedule. Still keep eight conference games. Whoever you play on the road this year, you're at home, and so on and so forth. So it's for Mississippi State, that means that in 2025, they'll be at Arkansas, at Florida, at Missouri and at Texas A&M. They'll get Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, and Ole Miss at home. That might be the best four-game home. You know, State has always had, what, Alabama, LSU, Kentucky, Ole Miss at home. And then it was Arkansas, Auburn, A&M, and then whoever the other East team was at home the next year. That's a this 2025 for your ticket value is a better deal. Something interesting that I just discovered. I just discovered it now. If you go to, I go to a website called fbschedules.com a lot. They have State's non-conference schedules lined up all the way through to 2032, which when in 2032, State has a game scheduled for at Tulane. Just go ahead and give you that heads up. So on that schedule, on fbschedules.com, State is listed with all of their eight conference games and then four non-conference games. At Southern Mississippi on August the 30th. Arizona State comes to Starkville on September 6th. Alcorn comes to Starkville on September 13th. And then Northern Illinois, Starkville, on September 20th. But if you go to HaleState.com, they don't have the Northern Illinois game. They have the Southern Miss game, the Arizona State game, and the Alcorn game. But they don't have the NIU game. So I don't know where the disconnect is on that, but that's interesting. I know that I saw today on Twitter, Chase Parham of RebelGrove.com had a conversation with Keith Carter, and he kind of hinted at some possible schedule changes coming up, and they might lose some games. And the general consensus was that he was talking about Ole Miss's two-game series with Southern Cal. And I've been talking about that for a while, too, that especially if the SEC in 2026 goes to a nine-game conference schedule, one of State's non-conference games is going to have to come off the schedule. Looking at 2026, State is currently scheduled to play Louisiana Monroe at home in the season opener, and then a trip to Minnesota, then Troy and Tennessee Tech, respectively, later in the season in the non-conference. One of those games would go away if State were to go to 9 conference games. Would it be the game with Minnesota? So there's a difference here, and Ole Miss fans, don't with what I'm about to say. But there's a difference between Minnesota and USC. All right, and there's a difference, yeah. For Mississippi State, Minnesota, that's an opponent you feel like you could have a good chance to beat. Ole Miss, USC, I mean, say what you want. USC is a much better football program than Minnesota is. I don't think, we're not going to disagree on that, are we? So there's a difference in that. There's a difference in playing Minnesota versus playing Southern Cal, so I get that. Does Ole Miss play? Oh, they're at USC next year. So if they're going to cancel that series, I guess they would cancel it next year. That would it's rough. I hate it. I understand why though. You think about Ole Miss next year. That's a Rebel fans again. We're just talking here. That's a rebuilding year, right? You're going to lose Dart, the receivers, Priest Korn, a few offensive linemen. A lot of these transfers will be out. 2025 is a year where Kiffin's going to have to build back a little bit. Now, they'll still be good. I will not under, while Lane Kiffin is at Ole Miss, you won't see Brian Haydad predicting they're going to really stink this year, 4-8 kind of year. No, he's too good a coach. He'll work the portal too effectively. But that's a year where, you know, you're thinking, okay, maybe 7-5, 8-4 would be the ceiling. Having USC on there at USC is a tough ask. And if you want to go to a bowl game, you need to get wins on the schedule. So for State, first off, again, you know, you think about no LSU, no Alabama, no Auburn for 2 years in a row. So what does that mean for 2026 for State? Let's just try to do the math here. Oklahoma would come onto the schedule. Alabama, Auburn, and LSU would probably all come back on. You still have Ole Miss. And then who would they not have played here? Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Florida. Now they have Florida, so that Florida's no good. I don't know. That's 8 right there. That's 8 right there. I wonder if that's how they're going to do it. They haven't said how they're going to do the permanent opponents yet. I feel like it's just going to be the one. I feel like State will just have Ole Miss. The problem with that is, though, State is in a situation where Ole Miss is really their only rival, right? They have some historic series against Alabama and Auburn and LSU, but I wouldn't call those schools rivals, right? Ole Miss and LSU, and I don't want to go down the real rival road, but LSU and Ole Miss are rivals. There's no question about that. That is a college football rivalry. The SEC would want to protect that. The same way they would want to protect Alabama, Tennessee, and Auburn, Georgia, I think. So if that's the case, then you got to pick 3 teams off this 20. We're doing math now here, by the way, guys. You got to pick 3 teams off this 2024-25 schedule, and who does State keep? They definitely keep Ole Miss. Please don't let them keep Georgia. State's played Georgia 5 of the last 8 years. Only Auburn's played them more in the regular season from the SEC West. You probably keep Arkansas or Texas A&M. I would say Texas A&M. They keep Texas A&M. And then maybe Florida. Maybe Florida. I don't know. So if they go that way, it would be 3-5. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Because I just can't see the SEC coming out with a 2026 schedule that doesn't have Alabama, Tennessee, and Auburn, Georgia, right? Because they want to keep Alabama-Auburn, obviously. I don't see them doing it without Ole Miss-LSU. You know, if you go Texas, who do you make their permanent? If you're only doing one, is it A&M or is it Oklahoma? You definitely want to keep the Oklahoma game, that neutral site game. That's too traditional. But you want A&M and Texas playing every year, too. They can't just do one permanent. They can't. I don't think that's possible. But I like the idea of just in the first 2 years, just why rush? And what Richard would tell us from the sports business perspective is, if the SEC is not going to, or if the ESPN is not going to throw out more money, why play more conference games, right? The SEC is going to play 8 conference games this year. they will get at least three teams into the college football playoff. Why change anything? You know, Georgia, Texas, and insert team here. I would say Alabama, Ole Miss. I mean, they may get four. Missouri. Just depends. You could very easily convince me that four of the top 12 teams in the country when we get to December, first week of December, are SEC teams. I got no problem believing that, so. It's just so weird to look at these. You know, I've done some spring football previews over on the Thunder and Lightning podcast, which I would encourage you to check out. And, you know, we talked to some guys from Alabama and Auburn, and I'm just like, normally I would tell those guys, all right, talk to you again later, you know, talk to you again later in the summer when I do an opponent preview and talk to you again during the season or the week of that game. Not this year. This really is a unique football season for all of us here as far as being Mississippi State people. And across the SEC, I mean, it's the same for Ole Miss this year, right? Ole Miss this year, they don't have Alabama. They don't have Auburn. They still have LSU. They still have Arkansas. That's another, you know, that's another rivalry as far as I'm concerned. Ole Miss-Arkansas is a good old-school college football rivalry. So I don't know. I don't know how the SEC is going to figure that one out. That's why I like the pods idea. But they killed that, and so now we're sort of just sitting here looking at it. So, but I like states. I don't like states' home schedule from a how many wins can they get perspective in 2025. You'd like to play teams you can beat at home, and having Georgia and Texas come in. And Tennessee will be tough. I mean, there's a legit chance, you know, that in conference play you could be 1-3. Right now, again, I don't want to argue with you guys, but in 2025, knowing what I know, who's going to be back for State or who should be back for State versus who should be back for Ole Miss, State might be favored in that game, but Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, probably not. And then at Missouri's tough. At Florida, tough. State's first trip to Florida since 2010. 15 years between trips to Florida. State's been to USM twice, right, in that time frame? That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Not sure they're in the same conference sometimes. All right, when we come back, we haven't talked hoops yet. Let's put a bow on Mississippi State basketball, the 2023-2024 season, and what I think about the future under Chris Jans here at Mississippi State. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Family. Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast 5 days a week when I'm not on vacation of Mississippi State sports, plus a lot of other good stuff. We're doing our SEC spring previews this week. We had Georgia on today's on the podcast feed. Tomorrow we'll have Florida. Friday we'll have Kentucky as we make our way around the conference and take a look in at what everybody's talking about in the spring. Plus, as we said, 5 podcasts a week. Doesn't cost nothing either. You subscribe wherever you get podcasts from. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. We want to let you know on April 6th, the first annual Miss Mississippi Pickleball Tournament. I got some friends that are into pickleball. I need to alert them to this. The event begins 8 a.m. at the Halls Ferry Park, 257 Halls Ferry Park Road in Vicksburg. This is the first pickleball tournament hosted by the Vicksburg Pickleball Association. To benefit the contestants of the Miss Mississippi Corporation, entry fee is $55. It's open to any member of the public. You can register for the event at pickleballbrackets.com. Pickleball has taken over this country. It's like the most popular sport. Everybody's playing pickleball. People tell me I would be good at it, and I'm like, I'm not good at tennis. I can't imagine I'd be good at a more compact version of tennis.
What about ping pong?
I'm not a pickleballer. I like ping pong. I can play ping pong a little bit, yeah. So, also don't like pickles, so the name itself might be a problem for me. Just don't like being associated with the pickle. Mississippi State's basketball season came to an end Thursday with a loss to Michigan State. Chris Jans' era has begun with two straight trips to the NCAA tournament, although two, one and done appearances. I don't think that that's anything to be ashamed of. I think that, you know, this is a basketball program that has had inconsistency through the years, and to get back-to-back tournament appearances with your players that, by and large, he inherited, to me, speaks to the kind of coach Chris Jans is. And I think some of the shortcomings of this team were, you know, I don't put them on Jans as much as I put them on just, you know, some poor play. You know, State didn't make shots against Michigan State, and in a lot of their losses, they didn't make shots. And I'm not talking about contested shots or three-point shots. I'm just talking about some easy buckets that they missed. But they did enough to have a fantastic season, to get back to the NCAA tournament. They were, you know, as you know, if you listen to this podcast or this show, I said before the season I thought they could contend for the SEC title. I was off on that prediction. The injury to Tolu Smith, I think, threw him off. And I'll be honest with you, I think at the end of the season, there may have also been some issues there that we just weren't aware of, and Tolu just decided to fight them out and play as hard as he could, because he just wasn't himself the last five, six games of the year. But I like where Chris Jans has this program, and I like where I think this team can go going into next season. And that's with a nucleus of, you know, it's going to start with Josh Hubbard, who I think will be attractive to transfers. I think transfers are going to, especially, you know, a big guy is going to look at that and go, hey, he's going to free up the lane for me. I think point guards will look at him and go, hey, that's a guy I can play with in the backcourt and I can get my buckets, because teams are going to focus on him. So Hubbard is the key cog to that team for next year. I believe Cam Matthews will be back next season, which is, you know, great news for Mississippi State. Maybe the best do-everything, jack-of-all-trades player in college basketball. A guy who can literally do it all, except for maybe shoot threes. He's not a great three-point shooter, but can get you buckets, can defend, rebound, block shots, play point guard. He can play four of the five positions on the court. Just a really good college basketball player. Every good college basketball team has a guy like Cam Matthews on the roster. Every good Mississippi State basketball team has had a guy like Cam Matthews on the roster. Shaq Moore, I believe, will probably be back in Starkville next year. I think next year he sees himself become more of a role player. State will try to recruit over him for the other guard position. But Shaq Moore, as a veteran guy coming off the bench, I think can be a very valuable piece for Mississippi State. Keyshawn Murphy, we'll have to wait and see. He's going to want to have an opportunity to play. And he's a guy who showed you some flashes this year, but he also showed you some inconsistency. So, you know, and I don't know that he can start at the three. You know, you want a guy who can give you a little more consistent outside shot at that position. You know, State didn't have that this year with DJ Jeffries. They didn't have a three guy that they could just go out there, stretch the defense, and get you some points. So, you know, Murphy, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Beyond that, I don't expect a whole lot back. You know, Trey Fort entered the transfer portal today, so he's already gone. Adrian Myers, Jaquan Scott, Sean Jones, I don't know. I don't know if those guys will be back or not. So State, you know, two current high school signees, three guys coming back. You're going to have to get seven, eight guys out of the portal. A Gal Chol will probably be back, so that'll give you a backup center. But you're going to go out and get a starting point guard, a starting small forward, and a starting center, and then get two or three other role players out of the portal. And you're going to have to be better, quite frankly, you're going to have to be better in your evaluations in the portal than you were last year. Andrew Taylor, you know, for whatever reason, it wasn't a talent thing, I don't think. I think, you know, he just didn't click for him here at Mississippi State, so he moves on. Jimmy Bell gave you some great minutes in the non-conference, but his contributions really dwindled towards the end. State doesn't get to the NCAA tournament without Jimmy Bell, but Jimmy Bell was not a big piece of this team by the end of the season. So they got to go out and get a five. They got to go out and replace Tolu's production. And as I said, I know he played poorly towards the end of the season, but he still averaged, what, 16-8? You got to replace that somehow. The good news is there are a few thousand players in the portal, so you have some options. You have plenty of guys. But the good news for State fans is this. First off, I think Chris Jans is a coach who understands the transfer portal. I know that he didn't really use it last year as much as maybe some people in hindsight wanted him to. But at the end of the day, when we've learned that all five starters were returning, plus Hubbard and bringing in Andrew Taylor, everybody was pretty pleased with that. There's been a lot of revisionist history recently on message boards about, I don't understand why we ran it back with those guys. Well, when they decided to come back, everybody was excited about it. You know, normally when you can return five starters off of a tournament team, you feel pretty good about it. And they were better this year than they were last year. But I think Jans, you know, if you go back to his opening press conference at Mississippi State, he talked about, you know, building a team year after year and not worried about building a program, I'm worried about building a team. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about going into the portal, and if your team looks different year after year, that's so be it. You know, yeah, you like to have Hubbard these next couple of seasons, but you're going to build around him. He's the centerpiece. You know, I think next year he'll be a first-team preseason All-SEC guy for sure. And he'll have a chance to be the leading scorer in the SEC with the way he's going to shoot the basketball. And then the opportunities he's going to have. But you need a point guard there to get him the ball. You need a three-man to help stretch the defense. You need a five to get rebounds and give you those easy buckets down low. So over the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, State's going to be in the portal. And you're going to see some guys go, but you're going to see some guys coming in. Every day, you know, if you don't follow Joe Tipton on Twitter, maybe you should. If you're interested in the basketball transfer portal, he's the guy. He's got the inside scoop on these guys. Tipton Edits is his Twitter handle. And, you know, every guy that's coming out, this guy's leaving. He averaged 15-6. He's heard from, and there'll be a list of schools, and Mississippi State is in there. So Jans is already starting to do the due diligence. The other thing with Jans is they got to get stick into his contract. And from talking to people and from what I know, that is a matter of form. That is a formality. That the contract's on the table. It's just a matter of him, you know, getting it signed. And I'm sure they're just working out some last-minute details, but I expect Chris Jans to be at Mississippi State for as long as he wants to be at Mississippi State and to be well compensated for his time here. So he's making, what, 3.2? They'll probably bump him up closer to 4 at the end of this year and take it from there. And it's well deserved. He's got this program going in the right direction. What makes you think Sean Jones Jr. won't be back? Seems like a very Chris Jams type guy who got a lot of playing time, seemed to buy into the system. I think he won't be back because I think State needs to recruit over him. I think State needs to find a better version of Sean Jones Jr. and get him out there on the court. I like Sean Jones Jr., but is he a guy that I think other teams are worried about and they're game planning for? No. So you got to find a better version of him. You got to find a guy who can be a little bit more consistent offensively. Yeah, he plays with great effort and great energy. I like Sean Jones Jr., but there are better options at that 3 position out there than him. So if he's back, maybe he's back as a role player, but I don't know. But he might not want to do that. He might feel like he has an opportunity to do something else. So we'll see. We'll see where that takes us. Like I said, with Jans, I got full faith in Jans, though. I have full trust in him to build this program. I think he's doing a great job thus far. And he's got Mississippi State basketball. You know, he's got people to buy back in. If you went to the hump this year, the crowds were good. I think people have bought back into basketball at Mississippi State. And that was something I was not sure was going to happen, you know, those last couple years of Ben Hallen, and certainly not when Rick Ray was there, when the crowds dwindled. Now I feel like Mississippi State basketball is on the upswing, and it will continue to be so as long as Chris Jans is on the sidelines there at the hump. We need to find some offensive players that can score. That has got to be priority one. Guys who can get the ball in the basket. That's what Chris Jans needs to be looking for coming up in this transfer portal window. All right, we'll wrap it up when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Hey!
Well, last go around here on Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. We are brought to you by Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. We want to remind you that every Friday and Saturday, make sure to check out live music and performances at the Beachwood Restaurant, the Vicksburg Convention Center, the Key City Brewery, Ameristar, and Waterview Casinos. For more information on performers and times, visit our website at visitvicksburg.com. If you go to the Beachwood, get a steak. I'll just go ahead and tell you. That's get the steak and get some fried shrimp. Get the steak and shrimp. They have the biggest fried shrimp I've ever seen in my life. They're massive. They're like a mini lobster almost. That's the Haydad tip for you. As far as if you're going to eat a meal in Vicksburg, go to the Beachwood. That's a great restaurant. Also want to remind you guys, I don't think we've mentioned it on Sports Talk Mississippi or not, but with Good Friday coming up this Friday, I believe all Super Talk shows that day are best of shows. Is that correct, Rhino?
Correct.
Yeah, we are all off work to celebrate Good Friday, so we'll spend that with our families. So tomorrow's Sports Talk Mississippi is the final one of the week. I'm sure we're doing a Food Thursday on that one, talk about what we've got cooking for the for Easter weekend. As far as sports go, tomorrow at around 11:30, we are going to be talking to Coach Jeff Lebby on campus. So we'll have that audio for you on Sports Talk Mississippi. See what this is the second time he's spoken to the media. I was not at the first one there, but should be interesting to see what he's saying after his second week of practice at Mississippi State. Also, tomorrow is Willie Gay Jr. Day at the YMCA Plaza on the Mississippi State campus. I don't know exactly what that entails. I assume Willie Gay will be there, the newest member of the New Orleans Saints, but. We will have some coverage of that as well, as Starkville welcomes, of course, Willie Gay Jr. playing at Starkville High School as well. So you're talking about a local hero, a guy who's now won a couple Super Bowls, and just an all-around great guy, Willie Gay Jr. Great linebacker. Very excited that he's a New Orleans State. Mike in Oxford said Sports Talk is 5 hours tomorrow since Friday's a holiday. No. It's just the normal three, Mike. If we're going to have to work more, we're going to have to negotiate that into my contract. And as I learned last week, Rhino, I am evidently the most indispensable employee this company has. Really? Richard leaves, nothing happens. You know, Richard's gone, we have no problems. I leave, bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. Twitter blows up, people melting down. Where's Haydad? So, me and you, I think we're 1A and 1B. I'll be B too. I'm humble. I'll let you have 1A. You can be top of the charts. So yeah, I'm interested to talk to Lebby. You know, we're second week of spring drills. Maybe get some insight as to how he feels. The quarterbacks are what I have the most interest in, obviously. And I talked to some people. Some super secret sources. They like what they're seeing thus far from Blake Shapen. He thinks that, you know, if he can stay healthy, that's a guy. And I have to put that caveat because that's been an issue for him in his college football career. But the arm strength, the ability to make the throws is there. The athleticism, the ability to escape when things are going bad is there. And they feel really good about him. And, you know, offensively, this is a team, you know, I've said it so many times now that you follow the Lebby career, everywhere he's shown up, they've been good offensively right from the jump. So if State's not good offensively, they broke a seven-year trend under Jeff Lebby. Oklahoma was good. Ole Miss was good. Central Florida was good and better than they were before. Central Florida was a good offensive team before Lebby got there, but they improved while Lebby was there, was the offensive coordinator. Ole Miss was obviously not a good offensive team before Lebby arrived. He and Kiffin got that offense going, and Kiffin has kept it going, obviously, ever since. Oklahoma was a good offense before he got there, but last year, I mean, they were one of the top offenses in the country. So I've bought into Jeff Lebby in the offense. I expect the offense to be good. I expect State struggles this year to be on the defensive side of the ball. So if that side of the ball can be surprisingly good or just even surprisingly average, you have a chance to do some things here at Mississippi State. I think that, you know, personally, and I think going 6-6 in year one would be a perfectly fine, acceptable, reasonable year one for Mississippi State. Anything above that, well, then, you know, then we're all very happy. Well, not all of us. There'll be some other people in the state that won't be happy. But they got their own season. They're going to be fine. Richard was able to get some guy to get him odds on Ole Miss winning less than 8 games yesterday. I mean, you guys know me. You know what I think. Ole Miss is going to win more than 8 games next year. I'll be really, really shocked if that happens. But, of course, I thought Mississippi State baseball was going to be awful this year, so maybe you want to fade me. I think fade, hey, dad, is a segment idea that I need to talk to the good folks at maybe one of our local gambling establishments about. But we'll do that for another day. All right, guys. Have a great rest of your Wednesday and a great morning. Thunder and Lightning will be available to you on the podcast feed when you wake up in the morning. And I'll be back on Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow, 3 o'clock p.m. Until then, for Rhino down there in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.